Hello, everyone. Welcome to Teaching Matters. This podcast is produced by WOUB Public Media in Athens, Ohio. I'm your host, Scott Titsworth, Dean of the Scripps College of Communication at Ohio University. One of the stories we like to tell on this podcast are stories of success, especially when it has a systemic success across a school. My guest today is Dr. Cynthia Wise, who is the principal and chief academic officer for the charter branch of Waco ISD in Waco, Texas. If you're not familiar with Texas school parlance, ISD stands for Independent School District. Am I getting that right, Cynthia?
Yes.
Good. I thought my memory was correct on that, but then I'm like, should I second guess a little bit? Dr. Wise created the Culture Conscious Campus Model, which is based in socio-emotional learning. It also emphasizes student success and STEM-related careers by emphasizing innovation and excellence. Dr. Wise, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Certainly is a pleasure and an honor to be here.
And same for us. So I want to start by learning just a little bit more about you as an individual. You've been, you know, working in schools for quite a while. Can you kind of talk about your career? And, you know, you've had the distinction in more than one school of helping a struggling school. Can you kind of tell us your story?
Sure. I started my career as a high school principal, where 95% of my students were white students. And I taught U.S. history, but what was unique about these students, they were students in poverty. Mm-hmm. And I taught U.S. history for 12 years. It was then I realized the importance of building positive teacher-student relationships, which is also one of the cornerstone characteristics of my Culture Conscious Campus Model, CCC. The majority of the students that I had in my classroom did not like history. They would say things to me like, why do we need to learn about some dead old people? Mm-hmm. Therefore, it was my responsibility to change their perception about history. I remember once, Mr. Scott, reading a verse in Proverbs that stated, "Wise is he who brings joy to teaching." Hmm. So I had to find a way to bring joy to teaching and learning. I had to connect to their cultural custom, norms, and life experiences. Mm-hmm. So I came up with this idea in this one particular class, and I said to my students, as we navigate through U.S. history book, we're going to rewrite the history using your own interpretations. So we did this in groups. Back then, I did not realize that I was doing project-based learning. Looking back, even then, I believed and practiced a collaborative approach to learning. I said to my students, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to study about the Civil War. And as we study the Civil War, I want you to rewrite the time period from 1861 to 1865 in your own words. And I told them to be as creative and innovative as you would like. Connect to your background knowledge or experiences. Then I ask them after about a week of me being the teacher, talking and teaching about the Civil War. I said, now what comes to mind? One student said to me, the Crips and the Bloods. And I thought, this is interesting. Am I in trouble here? Another said, the Godfather. Then I began to make that connection myself of what they were thinking. I said, okay, now create your own history book about the Civil War. And while you're using your background knowledge, field experiences, or what you have been read or told, or perhaps seen on television, I want you to write and illustrate the story and then present the finished product to the class. So I said all of that to say this. Even then, as a novice teacher, I knew the importance of strong teacher-student relationships, mm-hmm. the teacher as the facilitator of learning, and connecting the teaching and lessons to the students' customs, norms, and their life experiences so that they will be able to comprehend and retain the knowledge through those connections. We also did skits. We acted out the events in history. From all of this, did I achieve my goal? Yes, because my students performed well on their exams and they left my classroom with a new passion for American history. Now, let's move the clock forward to my first administrative assignment as an assistant principal. So I got a promotion. But this promotion was at an affluent district in the suburbs of North Dallas. It was at this particular school where I really honed my leadership skills. It was an elementary school, which was quite different from what I was accustomed to because I taught high school in a poverty area for 12 years. But I took the knowledge that I gained from the teachers at this affluent suburban school to my next assignment. Those teachers were not aware at that time that they were teacher leaders, and they were actually teaching me. I learned a lot from those teachers and the parents at that school. We became the district's flagship elementary school. I stayed there for 9 years. We were consistently on top. We reach an exemplary status as identified by the state of Texas. This school was predominantly white, and it changed to being predominantly African American in 3 years from the time I started working there. But we never lowered our standards just because the demographics change. And then I was promoted to principal, and I moved to East Texas. I was now in a position where I was able to make more decisions and to touch more lives. I took everything that I learned from the affluent elementary school in North Texas and began my journey working with a majority of Black and Brown children in Title I schools. Now, I was at the helm, and I was responsible for turning around a chronic low-performing school in the hood, where parents, they had no choice but to stay. Those that could get out, got out. 98% of the students at my school, they were on free and reduced lunch. It was a school that I was not allowed to visit until after I signed my contract. And once I did, I went from being excited, my first principalship, I went from being excited with, oh, yes, to, oh, okay. Nonetheless, I accepted the challenge. It was no turning back at this point. And Mrs. Scott, I was about five, I was 5'5", and I was at that time weighing on about 120 pounds. And so here I was having to lead this intermediate campus whose culture and climate was toxic at best. Everywhere I went in that community and I would meet people and they were asked, who are you? And I said, well, you know, I'm the new principal over at this campus. And they said, oh, my God, you have no idea. Well, I was thinking, they have no idea, because I was given a job to do and I was going to do it to the best of my ability. And I had no fear of children. So I started by changing the physical appearance of the school. I went to my superintendent and I asked him for help. I said, listen, the nasty carpet got to go. I need tile on the floors. I want to buy new furniture for the teacher's lounge. The furniture was atrocious at best. I asked for a lot of things to be changed. Why? Because I wanted the teachers and students to see the minute they walked through the doors that they were returning to a new and improved school. Secondly, I wanted them to see what I expected from them, excellence. It was also at this point where it became clear to me why God had me in a holding pattern for 9 years as an assistant principal, remember, in my previous affluent district. Mm-hmm. He wanted me to learn everything I needed to learn to be able to pull this job off. He was preparing me, and I was well prepared. To make a long story short, I have been consistent in my approach to turning around schools. I put systems and processes in place to completely change the culture and climate, starting with the curb appeal. My next step was to get to know my faculty and staff. Once I got to know them by calling them in individually, I selected my leadership team. Mm-hmm. We went to work on devising a turnaround plan, identifying the root causes and not to place blame, with the understanding that none of this is going to work if we are not consistent, as in the words of Harry Wong. We understood that there were a lot of bad adult behaviors and student behaviors that had to be changed. And we could not afford to send mixed messages to our students. We would say what we mean and we would do what we say. So within 2 years, this toxic, low-performing school, they were getting ready to close the door when I got the call to come to East Texas. Within 2 years, we went from being low performance status to one recognized by the state of Texas. Hmm. 1 year later, they built us a brand new school and bused my children from that side of town to the new school. That school became one of the highest performing majority African American school in the state of Texas. In addition, we were consistently recognized by our region as a high-performing, high-progress school. So, Mr. Scott, my educational philosophy evolved from my experiences, from my career, but also through understanding and knowing that it is never the children's fault, mm-hmm. it is ours. I believe if you teach them, they will learn no matter where they come from. And if you build it, they will come. I also believe wholeheartedly that a student's zip code should not determine the quality of education that child receives. Mm-hmm. And all children deserve the best education possible within our means. We have got to stop blaming students' lack of performance on they can't read, the parents are on drugs, dad is in prison, they come from poverty, the parents don't value education, they can't speak English. All of those are red herrings. I believe that the child that comes to school every day can and will learn if we teach them. I don't take kindly, sir, to my teachers and administrators who blame children. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in hearing talk about how low they are. We know that, because the data isn't lying to us. I'm interested in what are you going to do about it? We must never lose sight that there are children behind those numbers. And in the word of Dr. Paul Pastorek, who was my mentor when I became CEO, and I'll talk a little bit about that later, but he is now the chancellor at Arizona State University. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Paul Pastret used to say to me all the time, children can't wait while adults work through their issues. So when a teacher or administrator leaves my office, we have a plan of action. And you can rest assured that I have made my expectations clear. They leave knowing that we're going to support you. We're going to make sure you have everything you need to move the needle forward and that we are in this together. You can have the best of programs, but if teachers are not trained properly on how to use the program, and it can't be a one and done, it has to be ongoing. Mm-hmm. And if not, you're not going to get the intended results. In other words, you have to inspect what you expect. Principals have to get out their offices, and they have to do walkthroughs, and their leadership team must do walkthroughs to inspect what you expect. All of this has led to the success that I have experienced in turning around low performing school. Then you monitor and adjust, and then you evaluate. Mm-hmm. See, in the state of Texas, you earn distinction. That's why these are earned distinction, because they're not going to give them to you. And when you earn distinction, a lot of people know them as stars. At the elementary level, the maximum is 6 stars, and at the middle school is 7, and high school is 7. So you earn those distinctions. When I became the CEO for a charter provider, I was hired to replicate the CC model across 6 in-district charter schools. Mm-hmm. And that's the same setup that I'm working under here at Transformation Waco. Mm-hmm. But when I left the charter provider in my previous district as CEO, all of my Title I schools were either A or B schools, which contribute to the district receiving an overall district rating of A for the first time. Hmm. Additionally, one of my schools was nominated as a Blue Ribbon designated school. So I will conclude this section here of talking about who I am, my success, and the why and the purpose behind student success is saying that your work has to be strategic and intentional, because we not only strive for mastery, but for excellence in all that we do. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a lot.
Yeah, it's an honor to, you know, be able to provide witness to the important testimony that you just gave about your history and your story. I very much appreciate that. Many of our listeners may not be familiar with Waco as a community and certainly Transformational Waco Charter Schools. Can you give a little bit of background on where you're currently located and the types of students that you're serving?
Well, the students that I'm serving, a majority African-American students, approximately 80%. Mm-hmm. Title I school, 99% of our students are on free and reduced lunch. Now, Transformation Waco is the charter provider to the district, Waco Independent School District. Approximately 6 years ago, Transformation Waco, TWZ, took over the management of 5 of the district's schools. Mm-hmm. The schools still belong to the district, but they contracted the operation of the schools to a charter provider to help turn the schools around. Mm-hmm. And this all came about in 2017 when the Texas legislature passed Senate Bill 1882, and they provided incentives for districts to contract to partner with an open enrollment charter school or an institution of higher education, nonprofit, a government, or a government entity to run schools, particularly schools. It could be a school that are low performing, it could be a startup charter, or a school that has an awesome, innovative idea that they want to replicate.
Your model, conscious campus model, the culture conscious campus model, as you described it, you know, emphasizes relationships between teachers and students. Can you kind of delve more into this process and this model that you've created that, you know, that has demonstrated success? I mean, if you were describing it, you know, to other people, what do you think the key parts of it are?
Well, first of all, I will start by saying the only way that you're going to close the achievement gap is to teach the curriculum, the standards. Mm-hmm. In the state of Texas, they are called the Texas Essential Knowledge and Skill, the TEKS, T-E-K-S. Other states may have Common Core. Whatever your curriculum is, you have to teach the curriculum, because at the end of the day, our children are assessed over the curriculum. Mm-hmm. And that data is used to determine whether or not we are closing the achievement gap between Black and white students in reading and math. Mm-hmm. That's why the CCC model places emphasis as a standard first model. We tightly focus on the standards, the curriculum. We will never close the gap if we are not teaching the curriculum at the level of complexity that they are supposed to be taught. So why culture? Because the research is very clear. A strong school culture is an important foundation for student achievement and growth. And schools that have strong instructional culture retain more teachers and have better student achievement in both math and in ELA. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, looking at my model, there are five cornerstone characteristics of the model, and we won't budge on these. And they are necessary in order to have a strong and successful school culture. You must have a strong instructional culture and a culture of high expectation. How does that look? We teach with purpose. And we align all that we do with the standards, the curriculum. We strive not only for mastery, but for excellence. We provide a reflective space for teachers to grow. We have true professional learning communities, and they are structured because we encourage constructive communication and a collaboration across all staff. We also offer rigorous instruction across multiple innovative models that prepares our students for college and career, as well as create opportunities for them to critically think and problem solve. Now, I'm going to circle back and mention the Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills, the TEKS again. Mm-hmm. Not many people understand that our curriculum in the state of Texas is aligned with the SAT and the ACT. It is very rigorous. So we say we're getting them ready for college readiness. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, so we want them to be critical thinkers and problem solvers. Examples, these innovative programs and models, the innovative models, STEAM, individual interventions based upon the student's needs, providing the real world experiences, project-based learning, vocational apprenticeships, field trips, and more. Also, a strong and successful school culture is a culture that is student-centered. See, we believe that our students are exceptional. We believe they can do it. We bring out of them, we believe that we have a moral and legal obligation to bring out of them what already exists within them. Mm-hmm. And so we have to create structure to drive to deeper learning faster, because where there is no order, there is no learning, certainly deeper learning. Learning where students have to dig deep to think critically and problem solve. So we have clearly articulated rules, processes, and procedures for culture and for instruction. We believe with the right guardrails in place that teachers are facilitators and chief learners. They are not sages on stages. They don't stand and lecture children. Also, to have a strong and successful school culture under the CCC model, you have to promote strong teacher-student relationships. This fuels student engagement. We are friendly, but we are not the students' friends. Instead, teachers are the facilitators of learning for children. And teachers have to create safe structures that encourage risk-taking and enable success. I'll say this again. We are friendly, but we are not their friends. And lastly, in order to have a strong and successful school, you have to have a culture of engagement. We listen to the feedback from our constituents, and we're always striving to improve. We give our staff, parents, and community opportunities to engage in the educational process. We hear their input, and we improve upon our practices based upon it, because we believe we are stronger together and it takes a village. In my present assignment, my school has 34 community partners. They are here to serve when and where needed. Their service and their involvement is very impactful, you can imagine. So those are basically an overview of the characteristics, the pillars of our culture conscious campus model.
One of the aspects of the model that I noted in the introduction is that it focuses on STEM related careers. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, why you do that and how the pillars of the CCC model helps you achieve higher success in those sorts of STEM-related areas?
Well, the STEM-related area offers an opportunity for us to provide rigorous instruction and innovative instruction. And we are also preparing our students for the jobs of the future. And that's why STEM is so important. STEM is hands-on. It allows students to critically think and problem solve. And we are getting them ready because we want them to go to college or choose a career or even the military. But they need those necessary tech skills, engineering, science, and we place emphasis on mathematics, of course, and the arts, because we don't know which path our children are going to choose, but we want to do our part to get them ready.
Dr. Wise, if I was a new teacher that you just hired, and I, you know, was getting ready to start my job, what's the advice that you would give me so that I could walk that line of being, as you called it, friendly, but not the students' friends? How do I balance that?
Well, I can only share with you what I always tell my new teachers. First of all, I'm going to train them in the model. Mm-hmm. Because all new teachers, for the most part, unless you're extraordinary, like I was, they're going to struggle with classroom management. Uh-huh. So I am going to train them in the model and with the focus on getting them to understand you are in charge. You are the adult in the classroom. And I oftentimes tell them, put on that I am in charge t-shirt. And it doesn't have to be literal, but you have to go in with authority. Mm-hmm. And I'm from the old school, and I tell them the first 2 weeks you don't smile. And everybody everybody that listens, they come out okay. Those that don't, it's going to be a tough year. That's what I told them. You don't smile for the first 2 weeks. We can lighten up later, because during the first 2 weeks, we spend time, the entire campus. But this is important for new teachers. We spend time getting to know your student. We don't just delve into the curriculum, right? When you go into a school and the first day you see people into the curriculum, that's a flag. Mm-hmm. You don't know your students. You don't have your data. Spend this time going over your rules, your procedures, and rehearse them and making sure the students know what is expected of them. Setting those expectations. When you come into my classroom, for example, I expect for you to put your backpack here, put your homework goes here. I have a sponge activity or morning work, whatever you want to call it, anticipatory set on the board, and you are to get to work. And you go over all of that. We spend time the first 2 weeks and letting them set up their journals, getting all of that kind of administrative stuff out the way, as well as testing them with a universal screener to get their baseline reading levels, the starting points. That's how I work with new teachers. The first 2 weeks, first, number one, I assign them a mentor and a coach. Mm-hmm. And then I always tell them, you have me, the principal, right? But everybody's not going to have me. But hopefully they have a principal. So you do that. You prepare them. That alleviates anxiety for those first year teachers. Mm-hmm. They feel supported. And that's what you do.
Cynthia, my last question for you, you've had a track record of success throughout your career, and hearing you tell your story today, there's no question that you're passionate about giving students every opportunity to succeed and doing the hard work that it takes for that to happen. As you look forward over, you know, the next several years at your appointment in Waco, what are the things that you look for to be able to define success?
Well, I'm looking forward to this school where I am serving as principal and other schools across the network work to move to a recognized status. Mm-hmm. Because if we could earn distinctions, that the distinctions says that within your comparison group, you are in the top 10. So that means your school is moving in the right direction. Students are learning. You're closing the achievement gap. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, Mr. Scott, I want teachers to change lives of students for the better and leaders, so that the students can graduate, go to college, the military, a career, and become good citizens, and then come back to their communities and get involved in their communities and pass it on, move it forward to another child that needs help. So that's what I want out of all of this, making a difference in the lives of teachers and leaders so they can impact student lives and help them achieve their intended outcomes to graduate.
Dr. Wise, it's been just a pleasure to get to meet you, but more importantly, I'm so glad that both myself and the people listening to this podcast gets to hear your story, because you clearly are a leader in this area, and I think that your story is something that we can all learn from. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, but do you have just 1 second? I need to say one other thing.
Absolutely.
Okay. I want to say something that's very important about teacher leaders, because all of this, the CCC, one of the other intended outcomes is growing teacher leaders. Mm-hmm. That is also at the core of our work. We want to ensure, how do you grow teacher leaders? You empower them, but you also want to ensure that our leaders and teachers are utilizing research-based best practice models, like a program that we have used to close the reading, increase the students' reading level, like Reading Horizon. And the reason why I love Reading Horizon is not only because it teaches teachers how to teach reading, but it also is a complete program. And teachers, they do not have to search to find the missing components. It's all there. It also empowers teachers and students by providing them immediate feedback on what they need to work on. See, I believe when the teacher is ready, the student will appear. Mm-hmm. So when teachers feel empowered, they become risk takers and they take on leadership roles. They share and collaborate. And they are always seeking new and innovative ways to make sure students are successful. They are invested in developing the whole child. And so quickly, I'm going to give you one example why teacher leaders are important.
Sure.
Because I experienced it firsthand. At one time, I was the principal of two elementary schools simultaneously. I got the call from my flagship school that I told you about, but they wanted me to go to this other elementary school, but I didn't want to leave my school because we were a family. I love it, and I love going to work, and they love me, okay? Now, so I said, can I do both? My superintendent said, yes, right? The flagship school, I was only there 10% of the time. My other 90%, I had to be at the failing school, the struggling school. I was called once again to do the same for an elementary school and a middle school in the district. They've had other leaders before me. No one could turn it around. No brag, just fact. Now, so 90% of my time was spent at the middle school. The other 10% was at my flagship school. Mm-hmm. What happened with the flagship school? Did they maintain their A status? You bet you they did. So you see the importance of teacher leadership. I wasn't even there, but they held themselves accountable. They had integrity, and they ran that school in my absence. Hmm. Kudos to teachers.
Absolutely. Well, again, I really appreciate you giving your story and talking about, you know, what it is that you're really trying to do on the front lines of helping students and helping teachers succeed. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. Again, it is an honor and a pleasure.
Same for us. My guest today has been Dr. Cynthia Wise. She is the principal and chief academic officer at the Charter Branch of Waco ISD in Waco, Texas. She's also the creator of the Culture Conscious Campus Model, which she's been talking about for the majority of this podcast. And I'm just so delighted to be able to learn the story of how she implemented it and the way it has been successful. Our associate producer is Adam Rich, and our assistant producers are April Koska and Trinity Sweet. I'm Scott Titsworth, your host. Thank you for listening to Teaching Matters. If you want to reach out to us with ideas, thoughts, or comments, feel free to talk to us on social media or just simply email teachingmatterspodcast@ohio.edu. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you enjoy the story today.